Well, tonight, you guys, unless any of you have a particular question or comment, it's been quite a while since we've done this. Do any of you have any particular question or comment that you'd like to bring up before we start a discussion? Okay. What I'd like to do is I'd like to go into a review of something that I think is really important. I'm finding out, I taught a couple classes in church this last week, I'm finding out that this is a doctrine that's not well understood. Today in our church, the Melchizedek priesthood were asked to administer the sacrament. And I had the opportunity to bless the bread, and another old high priest that's even older than I am blessed the water, and then a bunch of elders and high priests passed it. In the prayer, again, I noticed that there's something in the prayer that we don't understand. For example, it says, to take upon them the name of Christ, and always remember him, keep his commandments which he has given them, that they, meaning us, may have his, that's Christ's spirit, that is not the Holy Ghost, that they may have his spirit to be with them. So I'm finding out, and maybe a quick review, and we'll delve into other things, but I just felt tonight a quick review on the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, and how angels and the spirits of just men made perfect fit into this whole scheme of revelation for mortals in a celestial world. What is it we're trying to do? What is it we're seeking for when we partake of the sacrament each week? The most frequent covenant that we enter into, weekly covenant. All other covenants we do just once. The sacrament we do every week. And I think that what we're wanting to do, the promised blessing is to have the Spirit of the Lord, and that's Christ, that's the Spirit of Christ with us as a result of taking upon us his name, always remember him, and keeping his commandments. So let's talk for just a few minutes of kind of a review of these two things and how they fit in with each other. Let's talk about this Spirit of Christ. It has many names, many names. Here are a few of them. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, the Light of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and others, okay? The Spirit of Truth, the Light of Truth. All of these things are referring to this same thing, and we're just going to call it the Holy Spirit. Now, this can get confusing because when you read in the Scriptures, it's difficult, unless we have this doctrinal understanding, it's difficult to understand. If when it mentions the Holy Spirit, are we talking about the Light of Christ, which is not a person, or are we talking about the Holy Ghost, which is a man? And for some, that may not seem like a very important distinction or something to dwell on, but it is really important because this is the mode, this is the medium, this is the channels that our Father in Heaven has given us while we are strangers and sojourners in this celestial world, for us to receive information from them to help us complete our journey successfully. So I think we just talk about that. The Spirit of Christ, the Light of Christ, the Holy Spirit. In man, it's also referred to as man's conscience. In the animal kingdom, it's referred to as instinct in animals. So things that animals do instinctively, they don't need to be taught. They do remarkable things almost immediately after birth. This is all a part of the Light of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, etc., etc. Now if we go over to Section 88 in the Doctrine and Covenants, let's go there, because Section 88 probably is the one section in the Doctrine and Covenants that has the greatest treatise on the Holy Spirit that there is. Section 88. And we want to start at the end of verse 6. The last four words. It's talking about Christ and calls it the light of truth. See, that's another name. See the bottom of verse 6, section 88, verse 6. See those last four words? It says that he, talking about Christ, you can see up in the bottom of verse 5, through Jesus Christ, and then it says, he that ascended, this is talking about Christ, on high also he descended below all things, and that he might comprehend all things, that he might be in and through all things, the light of truth. Now that's the same thing that we're promised every Sunday when we receive the sacrament. That's what we're promised. Okay? Which truth shineth? This is the light of Christ, as also he is in the sun and the light of the sun. So, when you're outside on a June day at noon and you feel that heat and you see that brightness coming from that planet up in the sky, the greater light to rule the day, that is a lesser, catch this, that is a lesser manifestation of the light of Jesus Christ. That light and that power and that heat come from him and through him. Okay? The moon in verse 8 and the stars in verse 9. Verse 11, 88 verse 11. It's the light which shineth, which giveth you light, is through him who enlighteneth your eyes, which is the same light that quickeneth your understandings. The fact that we can reason, for example, animals can't reason. This is one of the differences between God's children and the lesser creations. Man has this capability to reason. Animals do not. Animals function at a lower level. Your ability to reason as a child of God comes to you because of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason that you can, you have a mind capable of expansion. You can comprehend things. You can reason. You can think things out. Of all of the creation, man is the one that has the greatest ability to do that. And it's because of the Holy Spirit that's in him. See, it says, it gives you light, quickens your understanding. Verse 12, this light proceeds forth from the presence of God and fills the immensity of space. So if we were to talk about the Spirit, see, when we talk about it as a spirit, we want to attach arms and legs and a head and a body and fingers and toes. And we get a little bit confused there because when we talk about the Holy Ghost, which is a spirit, who is a spirit, then we do attach those physical things, like a body. But this doesn't have it. It could be more likely referred to an it rather than a he. Does that make sense? So if we start to get a feel for this, and the other words that we could use it, that the prophets have used, is a channel. It's a channel through which information can flow from God to his children. It's a medium. It is the agent of God. Whenever God wants to accomplish anything, whether it's creation or whether it's giving revelation or whatever it is, he uses the Holy Spirit as the medium or channel or the agent of his works. Now this next verse is probably the greatest of all of them on the Holy Spirit, verse 13. I call it the three L's of the Holy Spirit. The light which is in all things. Now stop to think about that for a minute. Without light, there can be no life. So if you're going to have anything that is living and is going to prosper and grow and increase, you must have the element of light. It is the light which is in all things. Here's your second L. First L is light. That which giveth life to all things. See, the two are married together, light and life. You can't have the one without the other. And then the third one, which is the law by which all things are governed, comma, all of those three, light, life, and law, the power of God. So if you want to know what God's power is, according to this verse, you simply say, the power of God is His Holy Spirit. And it's made up of at least three things, light, life, and law. Notice that it says it's the law which governs all things. So, let's take some physical things on this earth. Let's take the law of gravity. The law of gravity is a part of and is in place because of the Holy Spirit. If there was no Holy Spirit, there could be no physical laws. Any laws in our world or in the universe that take chaos and bring them into order are laws that come into being through the Holy Spirit. Anything that holds anything in order, any laws, electromagnetism, electricity, is a part of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that something that we use so much, I mean, it's all pervasive, it's ubiquitous, it's everywhere, and yet, if you're to ask people what electricity is, you'd be hard-pressed to get a definition of what it is. We can tell what it does, we can tell how we can generate it, but if you're to give a definition of what it is, you'd be hard-pressed to do it. Electricity is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Gravity, magnetism, any of the physical laws, thermodynamics, all have to do with the Holy Spirit. Because it says, it is the law which all things are governed, even the power of God who sitteth upon His throne, who is in the bosom of eternity, who is in the midst of all things. Now, let's stop for just a second there. Do you have any questions or comments about this thing called the Holy Spirit?
I read with Catherine Thomas, and I would have to go find it exactly. But she said something like, God couldn't perform the work without that Holy Spirit.
And that's exactly right.
Holy Spirit. Can you hear it?
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit could not be used without God. I would have to find it exactly what it says, but they are hand in hand. And she did say that Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, and God, Elohim, are using this Holy Spirit to perform their function.
Very good. I love Catherine Thomas's works. I've read several of them. They're really good. Thank you, Rosemary. Anybody else want to comment on that?
Is that why the human's term of mind over matter, which allows man to really get out of that, not really control things over, but when they allow their mind and their spirit to connect, then they gain power more than that in the external. I can find the right words to say.
That's all right. I think miracles and anything that controls element, I think that anything that man does that goes above and beyond the common understanding is probably going to be through this channel. Angels work through this. The Holy Ghost works through this. The spirits of just men made perfect work through this. So everything that is godly, whether it is Father in heaven, Mother in heaven, Grandfather in heaven, angels, spirits, anything that is in the employ of the gods, use this channel, this agent, to perform their ministry. So yes, Sister Katazal, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Now, if you and I as mortals can align ourselves in a godly way through our obedience and righteousness, then we also can use this channel, just like the gods do, to do things. I believe that this is the channel through which prayers are answered. I believe this is the channel through which God can hear and answer all prayers. I believe this is the medium through which He is everywhere at once. I believe that this is also the power that He is in the past, present, and future all at once, is through this channel. Now, that science is so far beyond man. It's way beyond us, but if we were to take a scientific course in how the gods perform their ministry, I believe that we would find this Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the vehicle through which they accomplish everything that they do.
Oh, wow. Just to be clear, I'm a little bit confused. So when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, it's not the Holy Ghost in particular.
No, we're going to talk about the Holy Ghost in a minute. So two different things. So the Holy Spirit is not a man. Let me read to you something here by Brother McConkie. This is in his book, A New Witness for the Articles of Faith, on page 257 through 259. This is the best, one of the best contemporary definitions of this I've heard. There is a Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, the Light of Truth, the Light of Christ. See, there's four names, all the same thing, which defies description and is beyond mortal comprehension. It is in us and in all things. Now remember back in section 88, remember that this is the thing that gives life to all things. So if you're alive, which we are, we have life because of this Spirit that is in us. Here's another thing. The involuntary things that our physical body does, like breathing, like exhaling, inhaling, the movement of the diaphragm, the beating of the heart, all of these involuntary human physical things are caused by the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
It's a programming that's in you that gives you life. Now, Brother McConkie goes on and he says this. It is in us and in all things. It is around us and around all things. It fills the earth and the heavens and the universe. It is everywhere in all immensity without exception. It is an indwelling, immanent, ever-present, never-absent Spirit. Now that's where we get into trouble when we hear the word Spirit, because we're conditioned by Latter-day Saints to think of the word Spirit as being a personal being. Either a spirit, son or daughter of God, or the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, or the spirits of just men. See, all those have personalities. Those are individual, unique people. This is not. So if you could sum it up, you could say, there is nowhere where this Spirit isn't. If there is life and light and order, anywhere where there is life, light, law, and order, that's where the Holy Spirit is, or you would not have those L's. Now, whether or not the Holy Spirit finds itself in outer darkness, whether it quickens sons of perdition, I don't know all that. The very fact that they live in a place where it says there's no light, outer darkness, seems to indicate that Spirit probably, and I don't know, but probably is not present like it is everywhere else. Continuing with Brother McConkie, he says, It is not an entity, nor a person, nor a personage. This is an interesting thing. Listen to this. It has no agency, does not act independently, and exists not to act, but to be acted upon. Now that's a major key. There's two things throughout the whole universe that Lehi talks about in 2 Nephi 2, things that act and things that are acted upon. The Holy Spirit is only something to be acted upon. It does not act independently. It doesn't think. It has no agency. It doesn't make choices. It's a vehicle, medium, channel, the agent of God. Continuing on. As far as we know, it has no substance and is not material, at least as we measure these things. Now, I beg to differ on that, because Joseph Smith said there is no such thing as immaterial matter. Everything is made up of matter. spirit is made up of matter, but it is more fine, more refined, and more pure, and can only be seen by purer eyes. So yeah. I would take a little bit different twist on that than Brother McConkie. He says it has no substance and is not material. That is not what the Prophet Joseph said. Everything is made up of matter. Everything. There's no such thing as immaterial matter. That's section 130 in the Doctrine and Covenants. Let me finish this quote. Then he goes on and he says, it is variously described as light and life, law and truth, and power. Isn't it interesting that over there in section 88, verse 6, where it said, talking about the spirit of truth, and then it said, which truth shineth? Truth, if you were to see truth, physically manifest itself. See, we have to change our thinking on that, too. If truth were to physically manifest itself, then it would shine. You would see it in light and heat. So truth actually can manifest itself in light and heat. Going on, it says this. It is the light of Christ. It is the life that is in all things. It is the law by which all things are governed. It is truth shining forth in darkness. It is the power of God who sitteth upon his throne. And then this part right here is a very interesting little statement. Listen to this. It may be that it is also priesthood and faith and omnipotence, for these two are the power of God. Brother McConkie comes out and it says it could be that this thing that we're talking about called the Holy Spirit is the very same thing as priesthood and faith and omnipotence of God. Isn't that fascinating? I personally have a tendency to lean towards the truth of that. Faith, priesthood, and the Holy Spirit all being the same thing. Maybe operating in different ways, but the same thing. Then he goes on, he says, for these two are the power of God. It is the agency of God's power. It is the means and way whereby he comprehends all things, so that all things are before him, all things are round about him. It is the way whereby he is above all things, in all things, through all things, round about all things. Because of it, all things are by him and of him, even God, forever and ever. Questions or comments about that wonderful quote by Brother McConkie?
I have a question.
Okay.
In that respect, then, the Holy Spirit, as you say, is truth, then the Holy Spirit also testifies in truth, then, like the Holy Ghost, or no?
I'm having a hard time understanding your question. I'm not quite picking it up. Try that again.
Does the Holy Spirit then testify of truth?
Yes.
It is truth. Okay, so we testify of truth by both the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit.
Now, I'm gonna go, and that's a great question, Rachel. I'm going to say this, that the Holy Ghost testifies of truth through the Holy Spirit.
I believe that. And then I mentioned about Catherine Thomas, and she said, you said something about, you know, this it is acted upon. And that's what she says. If God wouldn't act upon that, you know, use that, then there is, would be useless. It needs to be acted upon.
Exactly right.
It has to be acted upon. Say something like that.
Now, that's my opinion. That's where we're going to go right now, as we're going to talk for a few minutes about what's the relationship between the Holy Ghost, which is a person, a man, and the Holy Spirit, which is not a person. So we want to find out how these two things work. Let's go over to Moroni 7 for just a minute, look at one other verse that we can find out about the Holy Spirit, or the light of Christ, or the Spirit of Christ. Let's go to Moroni 7, verse 16. Now, one of the functions of the Holy Spirit, as Rachel said, is that you can receive truth through this channel. Truth is light. It's interesting that in section 93 of the Doctrine and Covenants, the Lord says this, the glory of God is intelligence, or in other words, light and truth. We've read that 100 times, haven't we? The glory of God is intelligence, or in other words, light and truth. Let's pick out the four words, glory, intelligence, light, and truth. Now, the way those four words are used in that sentence there, in that scripture verse, shows you that all four words are referring to the same thing. All four words are the same thing. So, if you want a definition of intelligence, the definition is the glory of God, light, and truth. There's a definition. If you want a definition of truth, here's the definition. Intelligence, glory, and light.
And if you touch that scripture, we're looking at Moroni 7:16, and that's
okay,
not it.
Section 93.
Okay.
Section 93, and the verse is 36. The glory of God is intelligence, or in other words, light and truth. The point is, those four things, again, are referring to this Holy Spirit. Because you have the light and truth, God's glory. The glory of God is somehow tied in with the Holy Spirit. And all of those are somehow tied into God's intelligence and man's intelligence. All of these things intertwine somehow, and we need to be asking ourselves the question how that is. Now, Moroni chapter 7, verse 16. Somebody like to read that?
I can read it.
For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that he may know good from evil. Therefore I show unto you the faithful church, for everything which he inviteth to be good, and to persuade to believe in Christ, is sent forth by the power and faith of Christ. Therefore ye may know with the perfect knowledge that is of God.
So what do we learn about? There it is. Notice that it says, for the Spirit of Christ is given to every man. Now that's not the Holy Ghost. That's the Spirit of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what we've been talking about here. So we can learn that every person who comes into this world, into a telestial world, every child that the gods send away to school, because that's what this is, telestial worlds, and there's millions of them out there, are the schoolhouses for the children of the gods. They are sent away from their heavenly home. Just like parents send their kids off to school, the first day of school, the bus picks them up, hauls them away. This is what the telestial worlds are. They are one-room schoolhouses, just like the old pioneer days. You have in the same schoolroom kindergarten and first grade, and you have juniors and seniors. They're all in the same room. That's the telestial worlds that we're in.
Oh, can I ask a question here?
Yes.
If I read this in the context of Holy Spirit, it will say, so behold, the Holy Spirit is given to every man, etc., etc., for everything which invited to do good and to persuade, to believe in Christ, be sent forth by the Holy Spirit.
That's correct. You could easily do that.
So the Holy Spirit is sent forth by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm getting out of here, which is kind of strange.
I don't know. Let me turn back to it there. I skipped ahead a little bit. So what's the question again?
Okay. Then it says Spirit of Christ. So
right.
We put Holy Spirit there. And then further down it says, persuade to believe in Christ. He sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. So that's the Holy Spirit too?
Well, Christ is a God who's using this channel to perform His work as the mediator, Savior, and Redeemer of the world. God, the Father, is a God who uses this same channel to create worlds and to populate worlds, see? So any person that has the title of a God, whether it's a God with a small g or a God with a capital G, they are gods because they're able to use this channel to perform their ministry.
would this be like another priesthood then, or something of that nature, or?
Yeah, that's why Brother McConkie comes out and he says, I'm having a hard time separating the Holy Spirit from priesthood. That's why he's saying he thinks it may be the very same thing.
Right. That's what it sounds like to me, almost.
So here's the point. I don't know if that answered your question, Rosemary, but here's the point. Every person who comes into these telestial worlds, every child of God, comes with this gift of light. Now, here's something else to remember. This light can be increased and decreased. What you want to do is you want to follow the enticings of this gift to increase its power in your life. If you will use this gift called the light of Christ, which does what? Teaches you right from wrong. It's man's conscience, see? Man knows inherently what's right and what's wrong. If you'll follow this light, it will lead to a greater light. Now, the greater light is a man. And this man is the Holy Ghost. You can't access the Holy Ghost if you haven't had experience in recognizing and being obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm saying now? So the one sets the stage and is preparatory to the other. Everything in the gospel of Jesus Christ moves from lower to higher, preparatory to fuller, fullnesses. Everything is moving upwards. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit. What can begin to be a little quiet, and another name for this Spirit is the still, small voice. That's the Holy Spirit. That's not the Holy Ghost. And as you listen to this little voice, through your obedience and experience, it can become a revelatory channel to where you can receive things that have no end. But it begins out with every person as a small little light that everybody comes into this world with, whose basic function is, this is right and that's wrong. Now, let me read to you something out of Preach My Gospel. This is on page 90 in Preach My Gospel, teaching the missionaries about the light of Christ and the Holy Ghost. This is Brother Packer. He says this. You can read this on page 90 on Preach My Gospel. The light of Christ should not be confused with the personage of the Holy Ghost. For the light of Christ is not a personage at all. And see, I got to tell you, this is not well understood in the church. 99% of the people that partook of the sacrament today felt that they may have His Spirit to be with them. If you were to ask them whose Spirit, they would say the Holy Ghost. And yet, the previous three sentences are talking about take upon them the name of Christ, always remember Him, and keep His commandments. Whose commandments? Christ's commandments, that you may have His, whose? Christ's Spirit to be with you. And Christ's Spirit is not the Holy Ghost. That's what Brother Packer said. Now watch. Its influence, the Holy Spirit, the light of Christ, its influence is preliminary and preparatory to one receiving the Holy Ghost. Did you catch that? Now, I got to tell you that this doctrine was not well understood throughout the church until two prophets started to talk about it. One was Marion G. Romney, and then Brother Boyd K. Packer picked up on it. And because of that, we now have a greater understanding of these two things. How important is this to understand? Well, it was important enough for Joseph Smith to visit Brigham Young from the spirit world to come back from the dead and give Brigham Young a message that I'll read to you in just a minute. It's critically important because how can you receive revelation? How can you call upon God and know what you worship and how you worship if you don't understand these doctrines? At best, what we'll do is we'll end up worshiping according to the precepts of man and the philosophies of men mingled with Scripture, where if you get an answer at all, it's only going to be diluted. Now, Brother Packer goes on, he says, the Holy Ghost can work through the light of Christ. Here's a key. See that? The Holy Ghost can work through the light of Christ. Christ works through the light of Christ. The Father works through the light of Christ because it's a channel. It's everywhere, and these gods use it to perform their missions.
The confusing thing is here, a little bit, I think, when they say the light of Christ. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Then all the Godhead uses it, and it's the Holy Spirit. Why do they call it the light of Christ? Not the light of God, but the light of Christ. So that's a little confusing.
That's
but I understand most of it.
See, Rosemary, that is an excellent question. Now, these are the questions that you receive through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspires you with some of these questions. You, in turn, then, take that inspired question to the Lord and receive an answer to that question. That's a good question. It's an excellent question. It's one that you should be able to receive revelation on. Brother Packer goes on and says, the Holy Ghost can work through the light of Christ. A teacher of gospel truths is not planting something foreign or even new into an adult or child. Rather, the missionary or teacher is making contact with the Spirit of Christ that is already there. So if you're teaching an investigator, let's say, about the principles and doctrines of the premortal life, and you see a light go on in your investigator's eyes, and they look at you and they say something like this, like they've said to me as a missionary, you know, my church doesn't teach that, but I have always believed that I lived before I came here. Well, where did they get such a thought? It's because of that light that's in them. That and other truth is found within them. And when they hear that, it has a familiar ring to them. It's something, I've always believed this. I can't tell you how many people have said that. You know, I've never heard anybody teach that, but I personally have always believed that that's true. And I tell them, that's because it is true, and that portion of truth resides in you in the form of God's Spirit. And what you're doing is you're simply coming in contact with truth that already exists inside you. And it came with you when you were born as a gift from the Lord. So now watch what happens. Where does the Holy Ghost come in? The Holy Ghost comes in when a person starts to come into contact with the doctrines of the restoration in our day. You're not going to have a person feel the influence of the Holy Ghost very much until they start knocking on the door of the restoration, Joseph Smith, the Book of Mormon, etc., etc. They can receive revelation and do all the time, but it's going to be coming through the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Ghost comes when they open themselves up to receive information about the restoration of the gospel in the latter days. Now, what is go ahead.
Does that mean that there is no Holy Ghost before the time of the restoration or even before?
Well, the Holy Ghost has always been on the earth whenever you've had priesthood, and there's never been a time, even in the great periods of apostasy, when there wasn't priesthood on the earth. Either in the form of translated men or godly men or whatever, there's always been priesthood. There's never been a time in the history of the world where there hasn't been priesthood on this earth. Wherever you have priesthood, you're going to have the Holy Ghost. But for the general population, so let's take the population that were out there. And I'm not going to say that a person can't feel the Holy Ghost if they're not knocking on the door of the restoration. I'm not going to say that. But more likely not. Because one is preliminary to and preparatory to the other. Isn't that what Brother Packer just said, right? Preliminary to and preparatory to the other. So here's how it works. A couple of missionaries go down the street, knock on the door, somebody inside sees them come and recognizes the white shirt and the black name tag or the pretty girls with the black name tag, and they knock on the door, and this person's on the other side of the door and has an impression inside, almost like a little voice that says, talk to them. Okay? So she opens the door, and they introduce themselves. And while they're talking, you know, she's busy, she's got housework, the kids are screaming, she's got to get dinner on, her husband's coming, all these things, good reasons why she shouldn't continue this conversation, and all of a sudden she has another little prompting that says, let them in. These are the Holy Spirit revelation. This is the Spirit of Christ. This is the still small voice. This is teaching you right from wrong. Now, if you invite them in, and let's say they come in and you sit down, and you have a beginning discussion about something of the gospel, you teach some concepts, some truths, and some principles. Now you're going to have another voice that comes in and says, it's all true. What they're teaching you is true. I've sent them here. You've been looking for them. They are coming from me. They are my messengers. That's the Holy Ghost. How do we know the difference? Because the Holy Ghost instructs, teaches, fills in the blanks, more of a discussion, more of a commentary, more reasons why things are happening. The Holy Spirit, when it speaks to you, is a guide and a director. It simply says, do this, go here, don't go there, don't do this, and hardly, if ever, gives any reason for its instructions. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you're going to have faith to move forward. If you'll move forward, you're going to open the door for a greater light to visit you. The greater light's the Holy Ghost. He comes as a visitor at this time. Meaning, he comes and leaves. Comes and leaves. Okay? That's what's happening when missionaries are teaching the gospel. The Holy Ghost is testifying of the truth. Go ahead, Sister Katza.
Sorry. So when we say that the Holy Ghost reasons out, is that that's definitely different from our own voice, right?
Definitely different from your own voice. Your own voice,
reason out.
Your own voice is a different voice altogether, and we'll talk about that one night, but we don't have time tonight. But you're right, it's a different voice altogether. This is a man speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a man who is a God, and his ministry is to do the following things. If we were to take words and describe the Holy Ghost ministry with words, we would do this. Testifies of truth, teaches and instructs, sanctifies, purifies, cleanses, transforms. Those are words that describe the Holy Ghost. If we were to describe the Holy Spirit, we would say guide and direct.
I also heard, and I don't know if that was from Catherine Thomas, but that the Holy Spirit is the still small voice.
Right.
Where on the other side, the Holy Ghost is not still. He can speak louder. that's what I read. He's not.
I like that. I like that.
You know, you might hear it. You know how you sometimes hear stories and say, oh, I heard his voice. It was so clear. I think the Holy Spirit is not always clear unless you listen.
And that's a good point, Sister Rosemary. I like that. I don't have any problem with that at all. To summarize a point here, it's my feeling that you're seldom, if ever, going to have the influence of the Holy Ghost in your life if you have not been obedient to and practiced and become somewhat proficient in recognizing the Holy Spirit. If you reject the Holy Spirit, and the Book of Mormon says the way you do that is something called hard-heartedness and unbelief. If you reject the Holy Spirit, it's my feeling you're going to be hard-pressed to ever have a visit from the Holy Ghost.
That makes sense.
The one is preliminary to and preparatory. You can't receive the Melchizedek priesthood unless you first of all receive the Aaronic priesthood. Why? Because the Aaronic priesthood is preparatory to the Melchizedek priesthood. These spirits appear to work in that same way. And it appears that that's the way God works in almost everything in the gospel that moves his children upward and closer to him. Starts out small, starts out with increments, and then as we're obedient, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, we receive more until you can be in a full revelatory flow. So let's take it the next step. So here's the Holy Ghost coming and bearing testimony to the investigator. It's true. It's true. It's true. Filling in the blanks. Teaching deeper principles and deeper truths. And we've all seen that as missionaries. Now, if you go into a covenant The purpose of the investigation is to take you to a covenant. If you go to the covenant and enter into a covenant as you're invited to by God, and the missionaries say, if you find out this is true, will you follow your Lord and Savior example by entering the waters of baptism on such and such day? See, if you choose to do that and enter into a covenant, now you have opened yourself up to a gospel right, R-I-G-H-T, and privilege that's reserved only for people who make covenants with the Lord, and that's something called the gift of the Holy Ghost. Investigators cannot have the gift of the Holy Ghost. They receive visitation from the Holy Ghost. He comes and goes during the investigation process. When they make a covenant, you now have the right to the companionship, not a visitor, but the right to the companionship of the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense? Which is now a greater light, more revelation, more truth, more knowledge is flowing down through that channel. And the Holy Ghost uses the light of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the light of truth, uses that to send that information through to God's children and impress it upon their minds. See, it becomes a channel, becomes an agent for the Holy Ghost to use. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring a man and a woman to a greater light called the Holy Ghost, which then leads to an even greater light called the gift of the Holy Ghost, which can lead to something interesting that most people miss. Go to section 109 in the Doctrine and Covenants. I remember when I came on this, I've read it many times, but the Spirit impressed it upon my mind, and here's what I saw. Section 109, we want to look, I think it's verse 16. Verse 15, section 109 is the dedicatory prayer of the Kirtland Temple. Now think about things happening in increments, step by step, upward, 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 line upon line. And go to verse 14. Do thou grant, Holy Father, that all those who shall worship in this house, this was the Kirtland Temple, may be taught words of wisdom out of the best books, and that they may seek learning even by study and also by faith, as thou hast said. Semicolon, now watch, and that they may grow up in thee and receive a fullness of the Holy Ghost. You see how we've started out? We start out with something still and small, something that everybody has, and then you move something to a greater light, but more exclusive, brothers and sisters, more exclusive. As you go up, fewer and fewer people are going to be the recipients of the greater and greater light. The reason for that is simply the natural man loves darkness more than light. Most people won't come up to this. It's a free gift to everybody to start, but to come up and receive what God has reserved for you is going to require sacrifice, diligence, faith, and obedience. Otherwise, you'll never have it. So there at the top of the Holy Ghost spectrum is something called the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Go over to section 121. Let me show you another one. One of the things that the Holy Ghost does, and let's go to section 121, verse 26. Now notice something here. You tell me what you see in verse 26. Somebody want to read that for us?
I can read it.
Good.
God shall give unto you knowledge by his Holy Spirit, yea, by the unspeakable gift of the Holy Ghost that has not been revealed since the world was until now.
So, tell me what we just saw there.
The Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost.
But every time you've read that verse in verse 26 before tonight, you thought it was two terms referring to the same thing, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd look at that and you would think that. Now, you, with your understanding, you should take a better look at verse 26 and try and understand what the Lord's telling us. God shall give unto you knowledge by his Holy Spirit, comma, yea, by the unspeakable gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, everything we've learned is the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are two different things. So how can we reconcile verse 26 with everything that the prophets and apostles and the scriptures say? Because verse 26 sounds like two things talking about the same thing. So reconcile it for me, because this is one instance of where now you take the doctrine and apply it to understanding.
Well, it almost sounds like, you know, you're being constant to do something, and if you do that, then
all right, I like that. Look what else it says. Go to the second part. It's talking about the knowledge in the first line, right? Now skip down four lines. Knowledge that has not been revealed since the world was until now. You don't get that knowledge from the Holy Spirit. You may get it from the Holy Ghost using the Holy Spirit to transfer that, but this is knowledge that is hidden from the masses of the world. Very few people are going to receive knowledge that has not been revealed since the world was until now. That is a Holy Ghost prerogative. What he's doing now is he's revealing this hidden knowledge through the channel of the Holy Spirit.
Wow. Along with the restoration of the Book of Mormon and the other things, it is
with everything
kind of
else.
Restoration of the Holy Ghost.
Look at verse 28. A time to come in which the nothing shall be withheld, whether there be one God or many gods, they shall be manifest. See, so there's these wonderful things in here. Go to section 84 and let's look at one more verse on this deal. And then we'll kind of wrap it up. We're almost done with our hour tonight. Section 84. And I'd like you to go to verse 43. Now, you've read this before, but I want you to look at it with new eyes. New eyes. Section 84, verse 43. Are you all there?
Mm-hmm.
And now I give unto you a commandment to beware concerning yourselves, to give diligent heed to the words of eternal life. You got to ask yourself the question, what are those words and how are they delivered? How do they come to us? Because he says you need to give diligent heed to them. For you shall live by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. For the word of the Lord is truth. Think about what we've talked about tonight. And whatsoever is truth is light. And whatsoever is light is spirit, even the spirit of Jesus Christ. Did you see the three L's? Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
So these verses are talking about what? The Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit?
The Holy Spirit.
Talking about the Holy Spirit. Now look what it says in 46. And the Spirit giveth light to every man, think of Moroni 7, that cometh into the world. And the Spirit enlighteneth every man through the world. Interesting statement. That hearkeneth to the voice of the Spirit. None of this is talking about the Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters. None of this. And everyone that hearkeneth to the voice of the Spirit cometh unto God, even the Father. And the Father teaches him of the covenant, etc., etc. Now there's an example of when you can start to look and see, wow, this is preliminary to and preparatory to the covenant that the Father has for those who follow this voice into his presence. Let's go to 1 Nephi 16. Let me show you something I just, in my studies today, that I was looking in during church. I was reading this, and the Spirit taught me something. I want to share it with you. It was just fun. 1 Nephi 16 is talking about a thing called a Liahona.
Mm-hmm.
We want to go over to verse 10. 1 Nephi 16, verse 10. I want you to tell me what the Liahona symbolizes, based on what we've talked about tonight. It came to pass, verse 10, that my father arose in the morning, went forth to the tenth door. To his great astonishment, he found upon the ground a round ball of curious workmanship. Was of fine brass, and within the ball were two spindles, and the one pointed the way whither we should go into the wilderness. Now, what do you know of in today's world that an instrument that points direction? What do we call it?
compass.
Yeah, this is a compass. So what you've got here is a godly compass. One of the two spindles points the direction you should go. Go here, don't go there. Go here, don't go there. That's a definition of what? The Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost?
Holy Spirit.
That's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a compass. It is a director. In fact, Lehi calls it the director. But Leahona, see? But now we've got a question about that other spindle.
Yeah.
Because Lehi tells us there's two of them there. So let's find out about this. Let's go on over to verse 23. No, verse 16. And we did follow the directions of the ball which led us in the more fertile parts of the wilderness. See that director? It's it's guiding them. It's directing them.
Yes, and when you said earlier that the Holy Spirit is has no agency, the one to be acted upon.
Right.
So the Leahona worked when they followed.
Yeah, and when they have the faith. So if you don't have the faith, if you're not action, if you're not acting and showing faith, is the Leahona going to work for you?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
Spindle will stop, and guess what? You're lost. Okay? So now watch. Let's go over to verse 26. Now it came to pass, the voice of the Lord said unto him, look upon the ball, and behold the things which are written. Came to pass, when my father beheld the things which were written upon the ball, he did fear and tremble exceedingly, and also my brethren and the sons of Ishmael and their wives. Came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the pointers which were in the ball, and they did work according to faith and heed, diligence and heed, which we gave unto them. Now watch, here we go, 29. And there was also written upon them, what's the them?
Spindles.
Yeah, the two spindles, not one, two of them. Now remember, one of them points the way, but both of them have writing on them periodically. Isn't that interesting? That's something that the Spirit pointed out to me. I'd never seen that till today. The them was a key word. Now watch. And it was also written upon them a new writing, which was plain to be read, which did give us understanding. There's a key word. The Holy Spirit doesn't give you understanding. The Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost teaches, instructs, edifies, fills in the blanks. It instructs you. It gives you understanding concerning the ways of the Lord. And it was written and changed from time to time according to the faith and diligence which we gave unto it. And thus we see that by small things the Lord can bring about great things. I believe that the two spindles are the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. And I believe that the Holy Ghost, working through the Holy Spirit, can give information and understanding. That's why you have writings that are found upon both spindles. But direction is only given by one. And here's something else. If you weren't diligent in following the directions of the first spindle, I doubt you would have ever seen one writing on the other or both of them. According to the pattern. If we're following patterns, and I believe we are. But if you're diligent to following the first one, which is your director, your compass, and your guide, then the second one comes with additional information, greater understanding, greater depth, greater revelation, and can be seen on both of them. Because guess what? The Holy Ghost works through the Holy Spirit. So you find understanding written on both spindles. When you heed the one, the others give you understanding and greater information. I just thought that was kind of fun today.
Mm-hmm. And an interesting thing to me, since you said that, it must have been shown when Lehi or Nephi looked at it. Laman and Lemuel maybe never looked at it because they were unbelievers.
Maybe. Let's go to 1 Nephi and end up on 1 Nephi chapter 4. One of the things you can have fun with as you study the Book of Mormon this now, that with this greater understanding of these lights, laws, light and truth and life, you can ask yourself the question, who's speaking here? Is this the Holy Ghost? Is this the Holy Spirit? What's going on here? And you should have some clues now as to how they operate so you can discern that. Let's look at one. Let's go to 1 Nephi chapter 4. Let's go to verse 5. This is Nephi and Sam, Laman and Lemuel going back to get the brass plates. Verse 5. Are you all there? 1 Nephi 4, verse 5.
Yes.
It was by night, and I caused that they should hide themselves without the walls. After they had hid themselves, I, Nephi, crept into the city, went forth towards the house of Laban. And I was led by the Spirit, not knowing beforehand the things which I should do. Now you stop right there. What Spirit?
Mine says Holy Spirit.
So why would it be the Holy Spirit? You're right, but why would that be the Holy Spirit and not the Holy Ghost?
It just gave direction.
Yes. It says, I was led beforehand. It's a guide. It's telling him when to go. Now let's go a little bit further. Let's go down to verse 10. Verse 9, he finds Laban, right? Laban's drunk and he's in the street. He sees the sword of Laban. Notice that it's precious steel, etc., etc. Verse 10, watch. I came to pass, I was constrained by the Spirit that I should kill him. So the Spirit said what? Here he is looking at him, and the Spirit said, kill him. Period. Period. Which one is it?
The Holy Spirit.
It's the Holy Spirit. How do you know it's the Holy Spirit? Because it's not given any reasons. It just says kill him. And then Nephi goes and he says, oh my gosh, I shrunk back on that. Notice what it says, I shrunk and would not that I might not slay him. And the Spirit said unto me again, behold, the Lord hath delivered him into thy hands. And I also knew he had sought to take him away. And you get this whole dialogue now as to why you should kill this man. So the Spirit says, hey, he tried to take your money. He's tried to kill you. He's tried to do all this. And then it goes down and look down at verse 13. Here's what the Spirit says. Look, 12. It came to pass that the Spirit said unto me again, slay him, for the Lord has delivered him into your hands. Semicolon. It is better the Lord slays the wicked to bring forth his righteous purpose. It's better that one man should perish than that a nation should dwindle and perish in unbelief. Who's the Spirit speaking now?
Holy Ghost.
That's the Holy Ghost. How do you know this is the Holy Ghost? Because it's filling in all the blanks. It's giving the reasons why Laban's life should be forfeited. It goes down and lists the history of the last three attempts of trying to get the brass plates. This is all the Spirit speaking to him. And then finally comes out and says, it's better that one die than the whole nation dwindle in unbelief. And then he goes on and he says, I knew that if I didn't have the plates, we couldn't have the law. And if I didn't have the law, we couldn't keep the commandments. Verse 18, therefore, I obeyed the voice of the Spirit, took Laban by the hair of his head, and smote off his head with his own sword. Now, isn't that fun?
It is.
If you take some principles now and start to look at this, this doctrine will help you receive greater revelation than you ever have before. You'll know how to ask and receive questions. Because in your prayers, you'll say something like this, Heavenly Father, instruct me by the power of the Holy Ghost, speaking through the Holy Spirit to my spirit, that I might understand and obey. Now you're making a request based on true doctrine. Guess what? The truer the doctrine, the more direct your questions are, the more your answers are going to come readily and powerfully. God will answer your prayers in your ignorance. He'll answer your prayers, but if you want to have a more powerful revelatory experience, take what you're learning and in your prayers, verbalize the truths that you're learning. Take a moment, get it in your mind, and in your prayers, let it come out and watch what happens. Because God will honor you for trying to approach Him in greater truth and light, which is what you're doing. Go to section 93. Now, all of these things that we've talked about tonight, we can take section 93 and go to verse 19 and apply it in closing up our lesson tonight. Think about everything we've said, and then go to verse 19. Are you all there?
Yeah.
I give unto you these sayings. Think about everything we talked about for the last hour. I give unto you these things for two purposes, that you may understand and know. See those two words? Understand and know. Number one, how to worship. And number two, and to know what you worship. For what purpose? That in time you may come unto the Father in my name and receive of his fullness. You see? Did you catch the two things? The Lord gives us this information that we may understand and know two things. How to worship and what you worship. The Lord wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. Most of our worship, if you're like me, has been mixed with the precepts of men and the philosophies of men mingled with Scripture. And God, because of his mercy and grace to me and my ignorance, has answered my prayers and given me revelation. But as I learn new concepts, and as I embrace the truth, he expects me to incorporate that within my worship practices to him. And as I do that, he honors me by greater, more powerful revelation, deeper understanding, quickened mind, and an enlarged intellect. You can't worship properly what you don't know. And remember that in the King Follett Discourse given April 7, 1844, just 2 months before Joseph was shot to death, he said the first principle of the gospel is to know for a certainty the character of God, and that a man slash woman can speak to God face to face as one man speaketh with another. That's the first principle of the gospel, to know for a certainty the character of God. Why does he want you to know for a certainty? So that you can approach him in spirit and truth. You approach him in truth and you bind him. You've paid the price. You've sacrificed through study and prayer and fasting. You've received revelation. You're operating on truth, and he honors that because of your sacrifice. And revelation flows. Questions or comments?
Thank you.
Our hour is up. Thank you for
I thought I understood this Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit quite well, but I learned quite a bit tonight. So.
Well, I'm glad, and it's a good refresher for all of us. This is a good thing to know, and I think this is the revelatory foundation. You've got to have a foundation of this if you're really going to reach out and enjoy personal revelation. Well, I testify to you these things are true. God bless you. Who won the Super Bowl?
Hello.
Still ongoing?
I don't know.
We haven't watched.
The Panthers were winning an hour ago, but I don't know.
Denver was.
Was Denver winning? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, look, Sister Stroud's here. Look.
Yes, I'm back here.
Look, back there. There she is. See her?
Hello.
That is Elder Stroud's still small voice. Hey, we love you guys, and what we'll do is we'll take this recording now and send it out. If you want a recording of this, we can send it to you if you would like, along with the class. We'll just send it out on your email, and we'll do this. When do you want to get together again?
Soon. Soon.
What works for you?
Is every Sunday too much?
No. Do you want to try it for a while?
I would love that.
We're not on a mission now. We have no intentions of going on one right now. So every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, if that's something you want to do, we can do it.
Yes.
That work? Okay, let's have a closing prayer, and then we'll call her good for tonight.
Okay.